Welcome back to another edition of the WABE Medical Minute. I'm Jim Burris, joined by Dr. Ford Vox, WABE's medical analyst. And let's start by reminding folks that Dr. Vox is an analyst for WABE, not a reporter. So in that capacity, Dr. Vox, you've been known to share a viewpoint or two.
That's true, Jim. I do have a take on the facts.
I preface this conversation that way because we're about to talk about the American Health Care Act. This is the replacement for Obamacare. It seems you have a take on this.
Well, I do. I'm not impressed. And I'm joined in that view by the American Hospital Association, the American Medical Association, and many other stakeholders throughout American healthcare. This is not because we all thought Obamacare was perfect, by no means. I've personally had to transfer patients out of my hospital to other hospital for necessary medical procedures because their exchange plans have such narrow coverage networks that they don't allow for anything but emergency procedures, even if you're hospitalized, outside of those networks.
So you agree Obamacare needs a fix?
Yeah, I do. And I think everyone who's not blindly partisan agrees with the idea that Obamacare needs work. But the kind of work I'm aiming for is not a wholesale repeal, but fixing what's breaking. You know, you can do that without chucking the whole thing. Everyone's complaining about health insurers dropping out. Increasingly, consumers have only one plan to choose from. Rates are rising. But insurance is still an enormously profitable business. We could require companies to offer exchange plans for the privilege of doing any other type of private insurance business. And plans are too expensive because Obamacare isn't working as it was intended to. You need a big stick to push healthy people into buying insurance. The Obamacare tax penalties simply aren't big enough.
Moving back to the Republican plan that was tabled in Congress this week, how does it encourage healthy people to buy insurance in order to avoid this problem altogether?
Good question. I don't think it does. It encourages people to be irresponsible. If you're healthy and young or just need the money for something else, you can skip your health insurance. And if something bad happens, something really bad, then you can just buy it again for a 30% surcharge. It's important for everyone to understand that Obamacare was hobbled from the start. The big idea was continuous coverage. If you were too poor to afford an exchange plan, you had Medicaid, which was made available to people over the poverty line. Once the Supreme Court ruled that states didn't have to expand their Medicaid, our state and many others with Republican leadership opted out.
The GOP plan really changes Medicaid, right?
It's transformed. The plan doesn't just end Medicaid expansion. It ends the federal government's responsibility to reimburse states based on the true cost of Medicaid. It puts in place a formula that caps the federal government's Medicaid outlay to each state, even if that state's true costs are higher. S&P Global Analytics calculated that about 4 to 6 million people will lose Medicaid coverage when this goes into effect on just its first year in 2020. And as a reminder, Medicaid provides for a huge amount of the nation's services to the poor, elderly, people living with significant disabilities, people with substance abuse or mental health challenges. States will be given the freedom to shape their Medicaid services how they want. Advocates for marginalized groups think that this is going to be a big problem in some states, and I certainly agree.
What does the GOP plan do that helps middle-class folks, for example, buy health insurance?
It offers subsidies, just like Obamacare. They're termed refundable tax credits, but not as much. The tax credits are $2,000 to $4,000 going up with age, but at the same time, insurers can charge you more as you age. Under Obamacare, the oldest customers could be charged three times more than the youngest, and under this plan, they can be charged five times more. The subsidies work out to be less for poorer people and more for wealthier people.
And if you're in that poorer people category, what's the backup plan if you just can't afford insurance?
That's up to the states, who are going to get some federal money for safety net programs and the freedom to do what they want. I expect that's going to mean state-subsidized insurance plans very similar to high-risk pool plans, which have been tried before and ran out of money. S&P Global Analytics expects that 2 to 4 million people will lose their market insurance starting in 2020 if this plan went into effect. Ultimately, Jim, this bill has opponents on all sides, and I hope that leads to a long and vigorous debate. Obamacare was introduced in July 2009. It didn't get its final congressional vote until March 2010.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Vox. See you next week.